You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is The Principle of the Tithe by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Focusing on finances, so we can get God's biblical plan for our finances, so we can live the way God wants us to live and give the way God wants us to give. Amen. So we can have what we ought to have so that we can do the work of the kingdom. We can support our families and we can live a life that we have all sufficiency, as the scripture says, and we need no aid or support from anybody. Look at somebody and say, that's the will of God for our lives. It's the will of God for you to be self-sufficient. And some of you really need to understand this, because if you come from a background where people always begging and everybody was struggling and scrapping and struggling, though that's a little bit below struggling. Okay, you can think that's the norm, and unfortunately, the church over the years has even whether they did it intentionally or not, glorified poverty. That makes seem like some kind of way you more holy if you broke. You more holy if you don't have anything. You more holy like God if you got a raggedy car. The devil is a lie. It's not the will of God for us to struggle. It's the will of God to have more than enough. Now that starts with, as a Christian, I believe that starts with the tithe. Okay? Before you can even learn anything else about biblical economics, you got to start with the tithe. You know, people come up to me all the time, and I'm real nice because over the years I've learned to be more gracious. And there was a time I would tell people, I humor folks. I humor folks so I know who try to sow who don't even tithe. And you got it backwards. You can't sow until you tithe. Don't try to bless me until you tithe. Don't try to get to building fund until you tithe. Everything starts with the tithe. And people come and put a seed in my hand and want me to pray for this and pray for it. And I know they ain't tithers. Okay? It's like we're rolling dice. Come on, seven. Maybe something happened. Maybe God will be gracious. Okay? But the principle, everything starts with the tithe. I heard the pastor teaching about tithing, and he told me not to be so hard about folks on the tithe, because he said to me, because everybody's not there yet. He said, right now I'm at about 6% myself. Okay? And I said, I see why you're telling me that, because he's feeling convicted about it. Can I tell you, as a Christian, you don't work your way up to the tithe. The tithe is not your 401k. I'm going to give 2% this year and then try to 3% next year until I get you the company match. That ain't how this works, okay? And whatever God speaks and whatever God requires, it requires faith. You just got to do it. Peter couldn't try to halfway walk on the water, okay? If he was going to walk on the water, he had to step all the way out there, okay? That was one of my stretching exercises, devotion this week. He asked Jesus to come, and once he said come, he had to step on out the boat. Now the rest of the disciples were smart, because they said, he didn't call me. He told Peter to come. See, so that ain't the kind of faith you want to hide. Well, I'm going to hijack that word. They said, go ahead, Peter, you bad. You gangster. Go ahead, do it. Okay? So everybody say it starts with the tithe. So we're going to start talking tonight, and I got to catch you all up, because our noon session is already two lessons ahead of y'all on this, because I started last week with them at noon. The power of the tithe, Malachi 3:10. That's the most familiar scripture that we know about the tithe, but we're going to look at others. Okay? This found, bring ye, everybody say bring. Okay? God said, I'm not going to wrestle you down for it. I'm not going to shake you down for it. I want you to bring it. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So the objective of this teaching is to cause you to understand the principle, the purpose, and the promise of the tithe. Okay. Some people say stuff like, I give offerings, but I may not tithe, but I give offering. The truth of the matter is, until you tithe, you can't give an offering. Okay? Because an offering, by definition, is above the tithe. The tithe is the requirement. The tithe is the minimum that God tells us to start with. And then the offering is what you do above and beyond the tithe. Now, the reason why I call this Christianity 101, I think if you've read my book, I ain't going to ask y'all because I ain't going to try to get my feelings hurt. How many of y'all have read my book, Headed in the Right Direction? Okay, it's my original book, all right? But in there, I think one of the things I talk about, get in the right church, you know, get a prayer life in terms of how you get started in your walk with God. And get the Holy Ghost, get baptized, and give the tithe. It's basic, and the reason why this is so basic because the tithe connects you with the supernatural. So watch this. Even if you're not the most brilliant person, even if you aren't the best, you don't know anything about financial and economic principles and all that, and you don't budget, and which you should budget, and you don't manage your money in the best way and all that. Can I tell you, if you will just start with the tithe, you will experience more of the supernatural by connecting with the tithe than you ever will just trying to work natural principles. Now, what you need to do, you need to work the supernatural and then still do the natural. Amen? So you have to understand the principle, the purpose, and the promise of the tithe. The tithe, by definition, it means tenth. So you can't just give anything you give and put it in the tithe column. Mm-hmm. The first line says tithe. Okay? If you got $100 that week, don't put a dollar right there and call that the tithe. Just put it under other. It's the other. We don't even have a name for it. It ain't even an offering yet, because the offering by definition goes above the tithe. Put a other. You can give it to missions. You can do it, okay? So the first thing the Bible said, bring some of the tithe. It said, bring it all. Bring it all. So you ought to, every week or whenever you come to church or however you give, you ought to put together everything that you have received for that period and give God one dime out of every dollar of that. Okay? And so what I always do, I pretty much calculate. I always make sure I do far more, okay? I make sure to do far more. Now, some of you, you're just starting. I know some of y'all tied to the penny. 92, 102, 98. Y'all tied to the penny. I mean, I don't see them anymore. But years ago, I used to see the envelopes, 54-82. As if you round that thing up to 55, something bad might happen. Okay? If you round it up, that's called, now we call that an offering, y'all. Amen? All right? So it means a tenth. So the principle, let's talk about the principle of tithing is first seen prior to the law of Moses. So for people who tell you stuff, well, tithing was under the law, they don't even know what they're talking about. Tithing was under the law, but it preceded the law. So before it was ever commanded, before it was ever demanded, the principle of the tithe was given. Okay? Actually, I heard someone teach this one time. It's real good. It said, first of all, the tithe requires discipline, right? And so when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, He put a tree in the garden, the knowledge of good and evil, that He told them not to touch that one, right? And so they could eat of all the other trees, but this one don't touch. That required discipline. It required not only obedience, it required discipline. The reason why it required discipline, because it's not like God made that tree have a nasty odor. It's not like He made that tree ugly. Because When Eve took of it and then gave it to her, she saw it was pleasant for food. So it was appetizing. It was enticing. And God said, don't touch it. Someone said that's like the first principle of the tithe, that is good and you sure could use it, but required. God said, no, don't touch this one. Sanctify this one unto me. Okay? Now we go to Genesis 14. I'm going to try to move real quick. Genesis 14, 18 through 20, we see that Abraham comes back from the slaughter of the kings when he went to go rescue his nephew Lot. And he comes back with all these spoils and all these goods. And when he's coming back, two people meet him. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and then also the king of Sodom. And this is what the Lord showed me about that. Every time you get money, you got the king of Salem representing Jesus, and you got the king of Sodom, the world system, trying to put a demand on that, trying to get you to play, let's make a deal. And the king of Sodom tried to make a deal with Abraham regarding him making exchange with him. And he said, no. He said, I told the Lord, I won't take one thing from you, lest you say you made me rich. He said, I'm not going to make a deal with the king of Sodom. But now the king of Salem, who we know from the book of Hebrews, represents Jesus. Melchizedek was a priest. Jesus, the Bible says Jesus was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. After the order of Melchizedek, because Melchizedek, it said, had no beginning and had no end. We have no genealogy on Melchizedek. No beginning and no end. Melchizedek was a type of Christ, if you allow me to say. And there's typologies of Christ all throughout the Bible. Melchizedek, king of Salem, he brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High. Verse 19, and he, Melchizedek, blessed him, Abraham, by saying, blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And so Melchizedek pronounces a blessing over Abraham with what? With his words. Whenever you see blessing, it starts with words. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thy enemies into your hands. And then in exchange for this blessing that Melchizedek spoke over Abraham's life, and now he, Abraham, gave him tithes of some. He gave him tithes of all. All right? And so I want you to see the first time that we see the word tithe mentioned is done voluntarily. Everybody say voluntarily. It wasn't under the law. No, there's no curse associated with it. He just said, man, you have blessed me. This word has blessed me. I received this blessing and I'm making exchange by giving the tenth of all. And he did it voluntarily. Let's look at the second time. We don't see the word tithe, but we see the same concept there of the tenth. Genesis 28, 20 through 22. God appears to Jacob in a dream. And he tells Jacob, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to keep you in the way that you go. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to give you food to eat. I'm going to give you clothes to wear. And I'm going to bring you back to your father's place in peace. In other words, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you. And I'm going to provide for you. And then the Bible says in Genesis 28 and verse 20, and Jacob, after God speaks to him in a dream, he vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and if God will keep me the way I go and give me bread to eat and clothes to put on so I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone that I've set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, of some you give me, of all that thou will give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Again, he does it voluntarily as an act of appreciation for God protecting him and being a provider. Are y'all with me here? So notice that the first time we see the tithing principle mentioned and acted upon was motivated by gratitude and appreciation, not by compulsion, not by threat, not by fear, not by command nor demand. And so when we talk about doing things in a biblical way, I think we need to go back to the original way that tithing was. And tithing started as an act of appreciation. Amen. And so we should be tithing, not because we're scared that we're going to break our ankle with the Christian Lubus that you bought with God's tithe. Okay? Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. If you don't know, don't even worry about it. Okay? You should, not because you're afraid that you're going to wreck the car, that you took the car payment from the tithe to make the car payment. No, we should be doing because we love God and appreciate God. Now, let me add this. How many of y'all watch or have watched or heard of Shark Tank? Okay. Now, on Shark Tank, they have these four financial gurus. Four or five, whatever the panel is, okay? You know, and it may change from time to time. You got Damon and you got Mr. Wonderful and you got, you know, all that, okay? And they're down there. And then you have people coming in with their business proposals. And what they want these people down here to invest in their business. They believe if they can get Mark Cuban, a proven billionaire, or Mr. Wonderful, who ain't very wonderful at all, okay? Now, I'm telling y'all, if you ever go on Shark Tank, I wouldn't do business with that person. I'm very serious about that. I'm just telling you. Because all he's concerned about is money. Period. Period. Don't care about people. Don't care about emotions. You know, and anytime you have somebody who's just concerned about money, you really got to be careful with people like that. Okay? Anyway, and so they believe, so they say, I want to offer you 10% of my company for your investment of $100,000, which means they have evaluated their company to be worth $1 million. They believe if I can get Mr. Wonderful, Mark Cuban, or whoever was on this Shark Tank, if I can get their investment, I get their knowledge, I get their expertise, I get their experience, I get their contacts, I get their wisdom, and some of them, they leave and they're crying. I've been working on this for so long, and just that the fact that I've got Mark Cuban to partner with me, now I know things really going to take off. They believe because their partnership with some natural person, heaven going to open up for them. Come on now. And the Bible says we are co-laborers together with God. Co-laborers. So the tithe creates a partnership with the King of the universe. Nobody got as much wisdom as El Shaddai. Nobody has as many contacts as God himself. Nobody has as much influence and can open up doors as Jehovah God. And yet we won't partner with him for 10%. They will offer them 20% and 30% and 40% of the company, and sometimes they'll even go 50, and sometimes they shock, or they shock. They get a little greedy. They say, listen, we got a long way to go yet, and I'm going to have to do a lot to really get this company going. I need 51% of your company. And some of them will agree to 51%. And God asks for 10%. We say, I don't believe that. I don't believe you can really open up doors for me. I don't believe you can make this thing work. I don't believe that you can really, that I'm really partnering with wisdom. And we are co-laborers together with God. And God asks for 10%. Are you hearing me? So the tithe may cause you to have a financial partnership with God. Are y'all hearing me? All right. So it was internal motivation, not outward pressure, that we see how tithing started, which should still be our motivation for tithing and giving, especially as New Testament believers. Second Corinthians 9 and 7. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. Every man according as he purposes in his what? In his heart. So let him give, whether it's the tithe or the offering. Don't do it grudgingly or necessity, for God loves what kind of giver. So God don't just want your money, he wants your heart. That's Old Testament and New Testament. When they went to go take offerings to make the tabernacle and repair the temple and all that, God would tell Moses, he said, tell everyone that is willing. Take of everyone that is willing, which means God wants your heart involved. He says, don't do it grudgingly or necessity. God loves what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. The Amplified says, let each one give as he made up in his mind, purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. If you walk up to me and say, here, Pastor, here's a first fruit. I don't want that. Here's a birthday present. And you got a, as my sister used to say, a stank. How do you spell stank? S-T-A-N-K, right? Stank. You got a stank attitude. God said, I don't want it with a stank attitude. I want your heart to be right. Amen. Now, you need to understand, stanky money will spend. Amen. As far as I know, I don't make the church deposits and all that, but I don't think our trustees, or when they make deposits, they'll ever say that they went to go take the church money down there and the teller said, this money stank. You can't deposit that money here. They just take it and count it and it goes right on. Amen. So I want you to know, stanky money will spend, but stanky money may not bring you the harvest that you want to receive. Amen. So let's look at the purpose of the tithe. The purpose of the tithe is real simple, y'all. Back to Malachi 3:10. Bring you all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be what? Meat in my house. Meat means provision. Food. Provision. God said it's real simple. If you bring the tithe, there'll be provision in my house, meaning the house of God, the church, the temple, for the church to do the things that it needs to do, and to take care of the church expenses, and take care of the church staff. All that's biblical. I'm going to show that in the scripture. To take care of the man of God and the families and the church staff and the Levite. In the Bible, y'all, I try not to think, even the singers got paid. Yeah. When people were tithing, the singers got paid. Okay. You only hear that, did you? You only hear that, right? God said, I need to, so there may be, so all these things can be taken care of. You'd be surprised how many people say, well, I just think instead of church taking up money, the church ought to help the poor people. I just think like the church ought to keep people from getting put out the house. The church ought to buy people groceries. Mother Bailey used to say this, I was a little boy, she said, the church don't have a job, you do. That makes more sense to me now than I'm much older than I did when I was younger. He said, the church don't have a job. The church is not a living entity in the sense of a human being who gets up and goes to work every day. In order for the church to do those things, people who have jobs or have income got to give us the means to do it. Amen. Somebody got to pay for this party. That's why I keep telling y'all. That's why I really don't like the word free. That's why I've always teach y'all. Because, see, some people grow up with this concept of free. There is nothing free. Somebody's paying for it. Wiggle your toe at me if you got that government cheese. You needed two people with a saw. Shh, 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 shh. One slice. Shh, 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 shh. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Okay. That government cheese and that peanut butter you had to, we didn't have no microwave back then. You had to warm it up in the oven though. So you could spread it. That stuff was free to us, y'all. Can I tell you it wasn't free? It was taxpayers' money. We give you a gift card, all that. That ain't free. That breakfast that we had New Year's, that wasn't free breakfast. That ain't free, y'all. Somebody's tithes and offerings paid for that. There is nothing free. Are y'all listening to me? So we really got to get rid of that concept. It's free to you. So when the Bible says, Bible says, bring you all the tithes to the storehouse so that it can be meat in my house, and then somebody can get something free. Provision comes through the... Now, Now, see, y'all, that don't mean much to y'all. But if you was a chicken or you was a fish, you would be thanking God for all the tithers. Yeah. I think more chickens have died. I'm surprised with all the churches that have been built around America why we still got chickens. I'm surprised they're not extinct. I told you all the time, why the chicken crossed the road? Because the black church was having a building program. They knew it wouldn't be long now. Like the monkey who put his tail on the railroad track. I've been telling these same jokes for years. Y'all still ain't got it.
Right? Do you believe God can do more with your 10% tithe than you can? Tithing is a biblical principle that can work for you. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains the principle of the tithe. Order this message today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for the principle of the tithe.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.